Welcome to Speed Learning English, your podcast for smarter and more professional English. My name is Sven, and with me is Richard. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Sven. How are you?
Now, let's go to the airport. So, if you go to the airport, we are both living close to Frankfurt International Airport. So, how do you get there?
So, you have different options. You can go there by the highway, on other parts of the world, motorway, by train. Also, the possibility to get to the Fraport, so the Frankfurt Airport, Fraport. These are the two main ways to get there.
And once you've arrived there, there are different ways. Let's say you go there by car and you are not having somebody who is taking you to the airport, so you have to park your car. What kind of long-term and short-term parking opportunities are you aware of?
So I have to go back in time. So when I was little, it was quite easy to park in front of the airport, and that's obviously before 9/11. And then so Now it's always getting stricter and stricter and stricter, and the time slots that you are allowed to park in front of the gates is very shortened as compared as, I don't know, some 10 or 15 years ago. So the time has shortened. But nowadays you have parking lots in front of the airport, as mentioned, where the parking space or parking time that you can occupy is quite short. Then you have parking spaces behind the airport where you can park, I think, as long as you want. I think it goes up to 4 weeks. A lot of workers, people who work there at Fraport, use it, and obviously the travelers use it. For example, so in Germany, the airports are generally constructed in a hub system. So we have a southern hub system that would be Munich. Then we have a hub system for the middle of Germany that would be, or the western middle of Germany. You have to remember Germany was parted in two countries. So the middle western part is then Frankfurt. And then you have a bit further middle, then west would be Düsseldorf. And then upwards you have Hamburg, and nowadays we have the new airport in Berlin. So you can then also park there. So if you live not near, as we are living, to Frankfurt, and you are driving up to the airport on your own, you can park there for 4 weeks or even longer. Just you have to take in mind that the cost increases as with time.
Yeah, I saw a very, very nice movie about somebody who parked in Frankfurt for 6 months. Wow. And he had no chance to get his car out of this parking lot because he just wanted to travel to Africa for 4 weeks to spend holidays there. And he fell in love with a girl and stayed there for 6 months and worked in a medical center. And he was completely unaware of his car being imprisoned at the airport. So,
well, I think love is a good excuse. So,
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. You mentioned something like HAP. HAP system. What is a HAP system?
HAP system is something from the area of logistics. So it's kind of a way to decentralize your distribution at the end, because it's from logistics. So it's really a term referring to distribution. So in order not to have everything centralized, you can build different centers where your items can be distributed to. So you decentralize it. So in our case, the items would be passengers, and the hub centers would be airports.
Okay, I understand. Now, this is something quite common in Germany, to have decentralized areas, because in the past, Germany grew together or was developed by a lot of little dukedoms and kingdoms, etc. So not like in France or in England, where we had Paris or London as the central point of the country and everything was organized from there. We always had small areas and parts that were quite independent. So maybe this is why we have these hub systems with airports in Germany as well. I mean, we even have Munich. We have an airport in Cologne, Leipzig, and many others.
That's true. We also have regional airports in Germany. A lot of regional airports where they are used for other reasons, and they are mostly not profitable, but there's a huge debate about them, why they're even working or open, for that matter. But that is a topic for another day.
Did you hear that originally the airport that is now in Frankfurt was planned in Mannheim, but as there was not enough space, they decided to put it to Frankfurt after the Second World War?
Really?
Because there were a lot of Americans in Mannheim. Mm-hmm. And Frankfurt is a very, very funny town, because after the Second World War, Frankfurt was also planned to become the federal capital of the Federal Republic of Germany before it became Bonn. And that's why Wiesbaden is the capital of Hessen and not Frankfurt. So Frankfurt is bigger and quite close to Wiesbaden. But Frankfurt was meant to become the capital of Germany, of the Federal Republic of Germany, the West German part.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And I think apart from them choosing Bonn, the reason behind it that Frankfurt is the financial capital of Germany, and they didn't want to combine the political capital with the financial capital in one city.
Yeah.
So there's, again, the idea of decentralization.
That's right. Okay, now we parked our car. Now we have to enter the airport, and there is the check-in. So, I mean, for people who don't speak German, it's very easy to get along at the airport, because nearly everything is in English, whereas my grandparents had big problems getting along because they didn't know how to understand this. They didn't speak any English. So what are the key steps that you have to go through when you are at the airport, from check-in to boarding?
So as you said correctly, so the first step would be then the check-in, where the airline would check your luggage or your bags, and how many bags you have, the weight of your bags, and the hand luggage, all this kind of stuff. And then before you end the check-in, they will check your passport and your boarding card. Nowadays, a lot of people use their mobile phone as a boarding card, so I don't know if they will invent a new word for that. Then afterwards, you have a long process of security, where your hand luggage is checked, where you yourself are checked, and in some cases checked in detail. Maybe when the X-ray machine has found something that is not supposed to be on you. Let's not hope a knife. In most cases, it's just that your belt is, you have to take off your belt because your belt is giving them a sign. And then in some cases, they will also then do a personal search. So, yeah. Then afterwards, if your security check was successful, you then go to the departure lounge. There, you kind of have a little bit of time before before your flight takes off, so you can go to duty free shopping area and just look out for things. Nowadays it's kind of really an experience. The airports have really developed themselves to have the departure lounge as an experience. I don't know if you have seen the departure lounge for Singapore, or I think they are very famous for the departure lounge, or and the obviously the airports where the Emirates have their hubs. Very great experience at a departure lounge. And so, yeah, but oftentimes a lot of people get into these duty-free shopping areas and then they forget the airport announcements. So oftentimes maybe your gate will change. So I don't know if you're scheduled for gate 22 and I don't know, something happened at the airport and they had to reschedule it to gate 18. So you have to kind of be attentive to what the airport announcements are saying. And then you can go to the gate number and wait for your calling, and then all passengers will get on board. Oftentimes there is a priority before boarding, and then again they will check your boarding card and your passport, and then you should be able to enter the plane.
Yes, unless you haven't got problems to understand the loudspeaker, which always sounds like, well, this is the final call for flight to Manchester. Passenger, Mr. Crawford, please come to the information desk.
That's true.
So that's sometimes also on the phone, it's a little bit difficult to understand the loudspeakers. And if I have like, if I'm a sportsman, or if I have a lot of big luggage that is, in German we say Sperrgepäck. Where would you check in your big luggage? How do you call Sperrgepäck in English?
The English word for the German word Sperrgepäck is bulky luggage. And in general, you can also board your luggage one day earlier at the airport. So for the bulky luggage, they have then a separate path at the airport where you can check in your bulky luggage.
Also, if you're handicapped, for example, and you need a wheelchair, they would also help you.
Yes, there is a service. Mm-hmm. So, for example, here at Fraport, you can then go and just register or tell them that you have a handicap, and then they will get you a kind of an airport mobile car or a wheelchair, depending on how mobile you are.
Yeah. I remember when my sister was young, I mean, she still is young, but when she was a little girl, she wanted to travel from Frankfurt Airport to Italy to visit her cousin. And she got like, you know, one of those signs, just like Paddington in history, at Paddington Bear had around his neck, unattended child traveling.
Yes.
This is a little bit unfashioned at the moment. I think it's out of fashion to have young children traveling alone and being attended by flight attendants or something. Have you ever seen some unattended child at the airport?
So the word unintended child at the airport, so the phrase is kind of, every parent that is listening is kind of teary or feeling sad at the moment. But yes, the numbers are rising actually for quote-unquote unintended children at the airport, because there are a lot of failed marriages in that sense. So where one parent, and due to globalization, a lot of parents live then in one city and the other parent lives far away in another city. So the children have to travel via the airport. And then oftentimes the stewardess takes care of that child, and maybe they don't have this big sign around the neck anymore for security reasons or any other reasons. But the numbers of unintended children at the airport or traveling is rising, yes, it's increasing.
There's always this announcement, don't leave your luggage unattended. And I always ask myself, but what about the children? I mean, yeah, okay. Yeah, fine. So thank you very much, Richard, for talking with us about the airport. And next time we will talk about car rental. And I'm really looking forward to our next episode. I wish you a great time and take care. Ja, und an dieser Stelle auch wieder der Aufruf an alle Zuhörer. Wenn du dein Englisch verbessern möchtest, dann melde dich einfach bei uns über info@speedlearning.com. Bewirb dich für ein persönliches Training, 3 Tage persönlich oder auch mehrere Stunden online. Und wenn du erstmal klein anfangen möchtest, dann schau gerne in unseren Shop unter speedlearning.academy/shop. Dort findest du unseren Powerkurs Englisch. Dort kannst du in den nächsten 10 Wochen dein Englisch auf Vordermann bringen. Und ansonsten hör natürlich weiterhin fleißig hier bei uns zu. Abonniere den Podcast, empfehle ihn weiter an Freunde, Arbeitskollegen und Bekannte. Und wir freuen uns natürlich auch über positive Bewertungen, Feedback und jede Form von positiver Kritik.
Schnitt. Uiuiui, da fragst du mich jetzt mal was. Sperrgepäck.
Dieses Sportgepäck oder sowas. Da gibt es auch so einen extra Bereich, wo du ein bisschen auf die Seite gehen musst.
Ich bin tatsächlich noch nie mit Bulky Luggage.
Bulky Luggage, ja.
Das wusste ich jetzt gar nicht. Also, ja, also doch, manchmal sehe ich am Flughafen ganz Leute, die fliegen mit so ganz vielen, also großen Dingen, und denke ich mir so, die Erfindung des Containers habt ihr noch nicht mitbekommen. Aber